All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say to everybody in the Rumble chat tonight, Mr. Cool Dude is on. Mr. Cool Dude, Agravain is on. Scooter Magruder's on. Robin Aroni's on. Alligator Alcatraz is on. Arcadia Angel is on. Aphrodites is on. JD Joy is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. JGCK is on. Bill F1 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. D9597 is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Prayerworks 2 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Mike Griffith is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Bob Corley is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Those Jesus People is on. Greg Ninemon is on. Sheila K is on. General Plowman is on. K4 VMS is on. Granite 2468 is on. Scrolling down here, let me see. Let me grab a couple more. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Volvo 960 is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. JBC 2020 is on. Drummer for Jesus is on. Milwaukee James is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. The one and only Clean Sanchez is on. Michelle Tal is on. Let me see here. TJT1 is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Let me grab one or two more. Lord Gene Lynn is on. Scrolling down here. Lisa Kinzer is on. Let me see if I can get one or two more here. There we go. Uncle Wally is on. One more. Luann5 is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just to go on my own little rant here, you know, it's off of the pregame with Trump talking about 1913 and the tariffs, because I didn't know. Aaron may have said it. I don't remember, but I couldn't remember, or I didn't remember, or I didn't know. But Trump gives the time frame of 1850 to 1913, and now I'm going to call those the big, beautiful years because those are the great years of the United States of America. That's when we had no debt, no deficits. We had no income tax. Imagine being able to keep all your paycheck. Can you imagine that? I mean, none of us, there's not a person in this room, and there's three different generations in this room. Will is in his 40s. I'm in my 50s. Aaron's in his 30s. And none of us have ever experienced not having money taken off of our paychecks.
No.
None of us have ever experienced somewhere between 20 and 40% of our income being stolen from us and used to form NGOs to employ Democrats. Is that's all income tax is for, is to form NGOs to be fully staffed by Democrats to enrich Democrats. I mean, you just found out today, which we'll get to in a minute, that Ilhan Omar, who entered Congress minus $45,000 in debt, is now worth $30 million. That's all a fact. That's all. Why is that? Because basically all campaigns are NGOs. NGOs also finance campaigns, and she hires her husband as a consultant for her campaign. Last campaign alone paid him $3.1 million. That's why she's now worth $30 million. But anyway, back to 1850 to 1913. The big, beautiful years. Okay, those were all, they were awesome. Why? Because from 1850 to 1913, we had none of the following. We had no CIA, no FBI, no income tax and no Fed, and we had and we were run and we were financed solely by tariffs, and we had too much money. We didn't even know what to do with all the money. And then we formed all of those things. We got rid of tariffs in 1913. Why would you ever do that? Why would you ever get rid of them? If they're enriching you, why would you ever get rid of them? Because you're like, other countries may complain about that, but who gives a crap? It has to do with us. And they're all tariffing us. They've never gotten rid of their tariffs. But for some reason, we got rid of our tariffs in 1913 because it benefits a very few. The bourgeois globalist leftist elitist. That's who it benefits. Yeah, no tariffs benefits solely them, not you and I. Because immediately you and I were strapped with the FBI, strapped with income tax, strapped with the CIA, and World War I. Oh, I forgot. It wasn't just the Fed. It was also basically the central bank was formed in both the United States and in Germany. And then 1 year later, World War I began. Strange, isn't it? That anybody that wouldn't comply with being part of the central bank, just like today, who gets bombed today? Who gets bombed? Can we all name who gets bombed? Anybody who is not part of the central bank system gets bombed. Iran, Russia. And who gets supported? Anybody who is part of the central bank system. And the central bank system, which is quickly going to try to go CBDC so that everything is digitized, so they're at the spigot of everything. Your passport, your finances, medical system, it's already in place in the largest country in the world, population-wise, that being China. So, I mean, I just wanted to reiterate this to you, that we had 135, 137 great years before any of these institutions were here. We are powerful. We won the Civil War. The Civil War got rid of slavery, did all of the right things, were very, very wealthy, and then crapped all over it in 1913 for some odd reason. I don't know. I'm going to have to research who it was that was behind all those things. But anyway, that, I just wanted to reiterate that to you, because there was a dream that was wrong. There is a dream that is the federalist system of the United States of America, and we are not operating in it now, and that's why you see all the problems that you see. And it all began when all the problem solvers met out in Jekyll Island and formed the Fed and the central banking system. All the geniuses. The geniuses that totally and completely and solely benefit themselves only at our deficit. But anyway, so Epstein back in the headlines. And like, people are sick of it. I'm sick of it too.
I'm sick of it.
Trump, are you sick of it?
I'm sick of it. It's a hoax.
Trump's sick. We got Trump live in the studio right now.
I'm here.
There he is. So Trump's sick of it. I'm sick of it. Here's the thing is still Trump's, I don't know who is in charge of the Epstein response in the White House.
So bad.
Well,
it's so bad.
I mean, Aaron rarely chimes in like that, right? I mean, and you're welcome to. I'm like, but it, you know, it's bad when Aaron chimes in. Aaron really doesn't chime in that much. I mean, it's so bad. Who in the world would put this, I mean, who in the world would put out that it is a hostile act to expose the Epstein files, to release all the Epstein files? But that's what the White House has done. So another colossal screw up. Now, here's the thing again. This is a complex issue, because it's really not complex. It's what are you talking about exactly? Because when Trump comes out and calls it a hoax, call it a hoax, Trump.
It's a hoax.
There you go. When he comes out and calls this a hoax, what does he mean it's a hoax? Two-tiered. He means that it's a hoax because the Democrats are trying to use it to pull back attention from Chicago, from L.A., from Newsom and his disastrous policies, from all the successes that Trump has accomplished, because he has accomplished many successes. They're trying to deflect attention to Epstein, to pull away from it is weird as this sounds, the border numbers that are coming out, I mean, from the Biden administration, the crime numbers, here's the thing, everything's two-tiered. Everything's multi-tiered. The crime numbers, which now have turned out to be basically fraudulent in every Democratic Party jurisdiction. So they're trying to deflect from the crime numbers and the fact that they fraudulently manipulated the crime numbers and many other things. So Trump, when he says it's a hoax, that's the first tier of the hoax. The second tier of the hoax is that everybody needs to remember something, that from the time that Jeffrey Epstein began to operate, everything having to do with Epstein has been under the controls of the Democratic Party. You're like, no, Tom, there was Republican presidents. Does anybody believe that George W. Bush ever, or Jeb Bush, or Herbert Walker Bush has ever voted for Donald Trump? Do you believe that? I mean, how many of us know that Herbert Walker Bush, W. Bush, Jeb Bush, John McCain, Mitch McConnell, every last one of them voted for Clinton, voted for Obama, voted for Hillary, voted for Biden, and any other Democrat, Obama, any other Democrat they could possibly vote for, because they are not Republicans. They are in Republican positions to keep legitimate Republicans and legitimate conservatives from having those positions. They're just Manchurian candidates. That's all they are. Or Manchurian politicians. That's all that they are. They're fake. And so are most Republicans. You see the real Republicans right now. The real Republicans are those that are actually willing. And again, this is very dichotomous, so pay attention to this. The real Republicans are the ones that are standing up to Trump right now, even though Trump's a legitimate Republican. I know you want to rub your temples when I just said that. Well, because in order to be a legitimate Republican right now, you have to release the Epstein files. Problem is, back to the second tier of why Trump is against it and why Trump calls it a hoax, is because the Democrats have been in control of these files since day one. A Democrat, Bill Barr's daddy, introduced Jeffrey Epstein to the world of global finance, which is a Jewish banking system and a London banking system, all combined into a central bank system. So that's who Bill Barr's dad introduced Epstein to that system. Bear Stearns, all of that, right? Now, he got corrupt. He got even more corrupt than that, went into being a Mossad agent, CIA agent, MI6 agent. Well, an asset, not an agent. So now Bill Barr, you're like, well, Bill Barr. So Bill Barr's dad, get this, Bill Barr's dad oversaw Epstein's entrance into the global finance world, and Bill Barr, his son, saw his exit from the world.
Yeah.
Okay, oversaw. So, and you're like, well, Bill Barr is a registered Republican. What does that mean?
Wow.
I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Bill Barr, you think Bill Barr's ever voted for Donald Trump in his life? Ever? Of course not. He voted for Obama. Well, Tom, they say they vote for Republicans. Yeah, they vote for other globalist leftist Republicans. Most Republicans are center-left globalists. That's who they are. Ted Cruz, center-left. Oh, but all those things that he says. But you ever notice that Ted Cruz has never tried to overturn Roe v. Wade in his life, even though he's pro-life? You ever notice that? Ever notice that he made sure he put his mask on, mask one, mask two, and took his vaccinations? Do you really think that people like Ted Cruz or even John Kennedy out of Louisiana, do you really think they're Republicans? They're not. You're like, you want to believe John Kennedy's a Republican because he says funny things, but what does he ever do?
Yep.
Now you got side by side that one for me, Aaron, right there. You have Thomas Massie. This is how you know whether somebody's a legitimate conservative. He's putting his whole career on the line, as is Ana Paulina Luna and MTG. So by standing up against Trump, because Trump is wrong on this issue. And if you are a legitimate conservative, you stand on principle no matter what the cost, i.e. a legitimate Christian. And they are two different things. I'm just saying, a legitimate Christian says, I'm not going to put a mask on because whatever I bind is bound, whatever I loose is loose. A legitimate Christian says, I'll never close my church because I'm not going to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So that's what you actually do, right? I mean, that's Matthew 16:19. And Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Therefore, let's stand on the word of God. That's how you know. Even though Trump, and the second tier again, is that this has been under the Epstein files, and Epstein himself has been under controls of the Democratic Party, which includes most of the Republican Party. When I say Democratic Party, I also mean most of the Republican Party. Not the Republican Party platform, but the Republican Party itself. Because they are all Democrats, basically every last one of them, with exceptions like Thomas Massie. And Donald Trump is an exception, but he's wrong in how he's handling the Epstein situation again. Because when he calls it a hoax, the second tier of why he calls it a hoax is because he's saying that this has been handled and manipulated by Democrats for the last 30 years, and he's correct. He's correct. There's nothing in there except for in court transcripts. And Trump is trying to get the transcripts released, and it's being blocked by a Democratic Party judge while the Democratic Party itself is saying that Trump is obstructing the release. You're like, Tom, this is all a giant minutia-filled circle bleep. That's correct. Understand, that is the government. That is establishment DC. There is nothing else. All right, so that's what, and Trump coming out and saying it's a hostile act for any Republican to support the petition that Thomas Massie has two things he's putting out there, a petition for the release and legislation for the release of the Epstein files. And Trump says it's a hostile act for you to support either one. Who's writing that verbiage for him?
It's crazy.
Because he's doing all these other great things. I mean, he's actually trying to get the release of legitimate Epstein court docs, which is real transcripts from real witnesses. And then you have the whole victim thing comes back up again. Well, now you have the victims testifying in closed door hearing, but open to congressional members themselves. And then some of the victims came out and actually spoke to the public in a press briefing today. Well, they're saying we don't want part of it released. And then Trump's getting bashed for not releasing it. The victims are saying we don't want it all released because you had, just so everybody knows, I had to look it up all myself, you had the 30-some-odd thousand pages released from the Epstein committee under Comer. 97% has already been released into the public.
Right.
And the part that wasn't released is all redacted because it's the victim stuff. And we're still hearing from people like even Ana Paulina Luna and Marjorie Taylor Greene that we have to protect the victims, protect the victims, protect the victims. Okay, the victims have been protected for many years now.
Yeah.
Okay, and I understand not releasing their names and addresses and phone numbers. I get all of that, but how many more times are we going to say this? It's like the video that I played the other night where every politician since 2006 have said that every single one of them from 2006 to 2025 this was a Matt Walsh video, have said that we have 11 million illegals in the country. Every single year, it's said. It's okay. It's all a lie. Okay, now, how many more times are we going to say now, since we've had the Epstein files in our hands, in the government's hands now for decades, that we have to keep on, it's being delayed, the release is being delayed because we're protecting the victims' information. I mean, folks, how long does that take? I mean, again, I was in law enforcement for a lot of years, 92, 2017, 25 years of law enforcement. I know about redactions. I know about public, FOIA requests, public records requests. I understand it. It takes all of 2 seconds to redact the information. And here's the other thing. Get ready now, and you've already heard it, and you're like, Tom, we don't want to see you blow your lid again. Well, it may blow. They're already redacted in the file.
Yeah.
You don't need to redact it. Any law enforcement document where there is a victim of sex abuse, it's already in what's called a confidential supplement. It doesn't need to be redacted. You just don't release the confidential supplement. It's so ridiculous. It's so stupid. Aaron, remind me of the show to teach me how to get this thing to stop fading to black.
Okay.
Or I'm going to smash it against the wall.
Okay.
I have a problem.
He doesn't like technology.
Oh, my gosh. And I don't have any idea why it's turning on me. It's purposeful. I mean, I know all these machines, they hate me.
It hates you.
It hates me. But anyway, because I'm trying, I have you guys on the chat. I'm watching. I've got a pseudo watch. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not watching the chat all the time, but I glance over it. But anyway, so let's hop into this Wall Street Apes video. Rep Thomas Massie, here's his statement about what is going on in D.C. With the Epstein files and his various legislative attempts. Play for me.
Taxes, jobs, the economy, those are always the big issues. But you really can't solve any of that if this place is corrupt.
What do you mean if this place is corrupt?
Well, I mean, if they're going to cover up for rich and powerful and politically connected people, which is still what is happening right now here.
Are you worried about the blowback that you're facing from the White House, from the president? He continues to attack you for taking steps like this.
Look, I got 3 billionaires right now running ads against me in Kentucky, and one of them's in Epstein's black book. So I'm not worried about it. I've already poked the hornet's nest here, and you know, once you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. We're going to get these five.
See, Trump should go to Massie and make amends and just say, listen, you know, nobody even has to apologize. I tell people that they get mad at me at the church, too. I'm like, nobody needs to apologize. I mean, you don't have, I mean, if you feel the need to apologize, go apologize. But sometimes it's just a disagreement and just move on. Just go to each other and say, listen, let's pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. As long as if you are blatantly wrong and you need to apologize, then go apologize. But if you have like a flare up, you know, whatever, then let's all pretend it didn't happen. That's what he needs to do. Just go to because Massie agrees with Trump more than any other politician on the Hill outside of Anna Paulina Luna when Matt Gaetz was there and Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're more in agreement, but Trump's attacking Massie because Massie will, no matter what, stand up to him. And there's times where Trump needs to be stood up to. Trump needed to be standing. He never should have bombed Iran. He never should have released the Big Beautiful Bill, even though it's got some big, beautiful aspects to it. It's basically a big, beautiful boondoggle. But and Massie calls him out on his lack of fiscal accountability, his lack of fiscal responsibility, calls him out on it. And he should have. And Trump doesn't like it. And Trump's got has billionaires trying to unseat Massie in Kentucky. I'm going to tell you that will make Trump look ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're going to lose. And one of the billionaires that's backing the defeat of Massie in Kentucky, trying to primary Massie in Kentucky, is part of the Epstein file.
Of course.
I mean, come on, Trump. Trump's in the Epstein file, but only as a former friend and as the owner of Mar-a-Lago. That's it. You saw the pregame. They had all those victims, and boy, you just know that CNN was really hoping that it was going to go the other way. Anybody, did any of you ever hear or see Donald Trump do anything inappropriate with any woman in relationship to anything, let alone Jeffrey Epstein? No. Trump's got nothing to worry about. But the problem is that the Democrats have been in control of that file for 30 years. So they've put in collusion hoax stuff. And I mean that figuratively speaking, not relating to collusion, but they're the collusion hoax. But collusion hoax-esque type of stuff is now in the file. Trump slept with 4 women, and they don't exist. That's already been debunked. Melania was a prostitute that worked for Jeffrey Epstein, and Epstein introduced Melania to Trump. That's already been debunked. That's already, I mean, so Trump doesn't want to relitigate all these issues because he knows he's going to fuel the Jonah Goldbergs and the clappers. I mean, the tappers and the Chucky Todds and all the rest of them. He knows he's going to fuel them for months as they pseudo journalistically investigate his various alleged improprieties with Jeffrey Epstein that don't exist because he didn't have any. As soon as Epstein crossed the line in Mar-a-Lago, he got rid of him. But somebody in the White House, and here's my theory. Because Jeffrey Epstein's obviously Mossad, obviously CIA, obviously MI6, somebody in Mossad influence inside of the White House is releasing this wretched verbal response to Epstein file releases. It's a hostile act. Who approved that? Because they don't want it released because it will damage Mossad. And there are many people who are quote unquote Americans and their allegiance is more with Israel than America.
Yep.
Flat out. And they're in the White House.
Yep.
Now, that doesn't mean that Trump is controlled by Israel. Because he isn't. I mean, it doesn't mean I didn't say he wasn't influenced. I said he wasn't controlled. Because if he was controlled, we'd still be bombing Iran right now. Right now, we'd be bombing it. And right after they got done with that, Netanyahu would say it again. You know, Pakistan's got nukes, too.
Yep.
Then we'd be bombing Pakistan.
That's true.
He's not controlled by Israel. He's influenced by a PAC in Israel. But not controlled. I'm not equating myself with Donald Trump. I'm just saying Trump reminds me of me. I will not be controlled. And you hear Aaron give a little giggle over there. Because yeah. Aaron knows. I will not be controlled.
Burn it down first.
I'm just not going to happen. Yeah. I I'd rather be dead.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way and Trump is exactly the same. Many of you that are watching are exactly the same way as me. And you're exactly the same way as Trump. We would rather be D-A-D dead than controlled by a bunch of effeminate globalists. And Trump is not going to be controlled by effeminate Netanyahu, who's actually Polish and changed his name. By the way, that's an absolute fact. Please Google it. You find his actual name. Everybody, that's the state of Israel, that Greg Locke and everybody else and all the people, Ted Cruz and all, support Israel. You know, you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. Curse Israel, you'll be cursed. It's not at all what Genesis 12:3 even means at all. Speaking to Abram before he was even his name was even changed to Abraham. Nothing to do with the current secular state of Israel. Nothing. Now, Israel as an ally, pseudo-ally, they're more of a benefactor than an ally because they never actually support us, if you ever notice it. Mm-hmm. Never notice it? Where's the support? I didn't see Israeli troops in Iraq. Aaron, did you?
Nope.
Afghanistan?
Nope.
Will, you fought in Iraq. Did you ever see any Israeli troops?
Nope.
Okay, there you go. There's never Israeli. I bet you saw some other troops, though, didn't you?
Australian.
There you go. Boom. Australia flies all the way over there to support us, and Israel, who lives right there, doesn't even show up. I mean, that'd be like me going up and saying, hey, you know, I'm a cop in Sarasota County, and I go up to Detroit. They're willing to do that, but somebody who actually lives here is not willing to police their own area. I mean, it really is amazing. But anyway, back to Epstein. So I believe there's somebody inside of the White House that doesn't want to release because it'll humiliate Israel. Israel, who loves to harbor pedophiles. That's just the way it is. Oh, Tom's an anti-Semite. I'm not anti-anything. Not. I'm a truth talker. I'm a truth speaker. Yep. I'm not anti-anything. I don't care whether you're black, white. I don't care. I don't care what you are. I've advocated for homosexuals to be hired by Donald Trump. I have.
Yeah.
I mean, Richard Grenell. I love Richard Grenell. Couldn't be any more gay.
Same with Bissette.
Yeah. Bissette couldn't be any more gay. All of them, they have husbands and kids. How that works, don't know. I mean, they found some womb somewhere. But I mean, I'm just saying, that's what they did. Dave Rubin, same way. He's got husband and kids. The whispering whisper crime every night of their life. Okay, they find hairy butts to be attractive. That's the way that it is. Okay, that's the way it is. Okay, that's truth. That's the way that it is. Okay.
But anyway, oh my gosh.
So anyway, that's what's true. So I don't care. What is true? Richard Grenell is an absolute animal. He is a monster. He is awesome in what he does. So that's what, you know, again, now he and I would fight if it came down to should homosexuals be allowed to adopt? No.
Right.
I don't agree with that. I don't think you should be married either. Now you can give power of attorney to anybody that you want. I have no problem with that. You do what you want to do. But that my point in all of this is I just say what's true. That's it.
Yeah.
Whatever's true is true. So I believe, and when I say I believe, I'm not saying it's true. That's what I believe. This could be conjecture. I believe there's influences inside of the White House that are trying to keep Israel clean from the Epstein files. And Trump has used the Epstein files to leverage various tariff deals around the globe. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe I won't release them if you sign the tariff agreement. All right. So that's just the way that that's the way that I see it. Go to the next one for me. Slide two for the show. It's 9:32.
Yeah. It's slide two. Yeah.
Slide two at 9:32. Thomas Massie tweet. White House says helping me secure a vote to release all the Epstein files is a hostile act. That's a quote. That's exactly what was sent out by the White House. That should never be, folks. Trump cannot make these errors. He cannot make these errors over and over again. They're threatening anyone who helps bring true transparency and justice for the survivors. This is a tacit admission. The Oversight Committee data release is woefully incomplete. It was 97% already released into the public. Now, what does that mean, by the way? That doesn't even mean that the 3% isn't known by the public. It has been definitively proven that 97% has been released to the public. Many other, most of us, by the way, don't even operate in that 97% realm. You and I operate in the 100% realm. We probably know everything that's in that file already because we've been looking into this stuff for years. But anyway, I don't know who it is in the White House. My suspicions are Susie Wiles. She is heavily APAC'd out and heavily influenced by the Jewish state. It has to be her. Administrative
chief of staff?
Chief of staff. Oh, thank you, Aaron. Chief of staff. So that's his chief of staff for his administration. I don't know that, but this has been woefully handled again. Why would you ever send out hostile act? Who approved that? When you're sitting around in your staff meeting at the White House, who put this out?
Yeah, pretty tone deaf.
Why would you ever? What was that?
I said, yeah, pretty tone deaf.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So, I mean, like, who would put this out? You're sitting in a circle and someone goes, hey, let's put out that it's a hostile act. That let's put out that anything in reference to transparency with Jeffrey Epstein is a hostile act. I mean, you look like a pedophile protector.
Right. Yeah.
Who would ever do that? Especially with Trump, it has nothing to do with Epstein. There's never been anybody. By the way, I call them juveniles because at the time they were underage victims. The juvenile victims' attorneys came out today from the press gaggle with all the Epstein victims and said Donald Trump has been helping with the investigation and prosecution of Jeffrey Epstein since when? 2009. So Trump is trying to put him in prison. And somebody in the White House, and by the way, I'm blaming Trump because the buck stops with Trump, just like anything here at Foundation Church. If it sucks, guess who gets blamed? Me.
Yeah.
All right? So it's still Trump's fault, but somebody in there, they had a meeting around, everybody sipping coffee, and somebody came up with the genius idea to call the release of the Epstein files a hostile act. Listen, if you don't want them released, which you should want them released, no matter what it is, no matter what's in there, release it. And you can always defend the lies. And you can go after the people who lied in the Epstein files, who actually created the lies, because then you have a conspiracy against rights. That's ongoing. That implicates Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Comey, Susan Rice, and Ron Klain, and many others. Right there. That's all you got to do.
Yep.
But no, why does anybody think of this? Instead, hostile act is used. Look, did everyone look at the bottom of this thing? Like, yeah, look, 1.3 million. That was at 8:39 this morning.
Yeah.
So and that's just on one account, this Massey's account. 1.3 million people at 8:30 this morning saw that Donald Trump called the release of the Epstein files a hostile act. I mean, you want to help him to be great, because he is. I mean, who else would we vote for? There is nobody else like Trump. But who makes these decisions? Is somebody in there firing torpedoes at his ankles? I have no idea who it is trying to cut his legs out from underneath him. All right, let's get off of Epstein. All right, now let's go to this. This is some interesting stuff here. So, you know, you have the World Economic Forum, and you've got the Glasgow Summit, the World Climate Summit. The Catastrophic Contagion Convention. Wow. Let's get our tickets to that, huh, Will? I just heard Will grunt, so I'm like, sorry, I just got conservative warrior. I like hairy butts on the chat. We'll pray for you, conservative warrior. But anyway, of course, I don't know whether you're male or female. So if you're female, you should like everybody.
Hoping. It's hoping. Female.
And we're praying, right? Let's, Lord in Jesus' name, make conservative warrior a female.
Hallelujah.
I'm reading all conservative warriors' things now. That's a good t-shirt to sell down in Key West.
But anyway. I like Harry Butts, and I can't not lie.
I cannot lie. So you're getting you're having all these summits now, and all of these, these forums, meetings, and now you're having one in Beijing. I haven't seen that it's called. It's been given a name yet, or been named in any way, shape, or form. But Xi Jinping is having himself a global summit in Beijing, and he's got 26 world leaders that have shown up to him. Now let's look at this video. Look at who's shown up to Xi Jinping's global summit. Play it for me.
Daniel Andrews has been given a personal welcome by China's president to a massive military parade. This is a live look at that ceremony right now. World leaders, including North Korea's Kim Jong-un and Russia's Vladimir Putin, marking the 80th anniversary of World War II in a show of force only China can pull off.
It is a truly remarkable show, not only a display of military might, but also the diplomatic pull that Xi Jinping has. He's amassed about 26 world leaders, from Vladimir Putin to Kim Jong-un, as you say, the Iranian president, the Indonesian president, and then there is the former Victorian premier Dan Andrews, who until now we didn't know if he's going to turn up. We knew that he'd been invited, but he was given a very prominent spot on the red carpet there, got a personal greeting from the Chinese president. Now, this is a very, very big display, as I say, about military might, but it's also about China's place in the world. Xi Jinping sees that sees China as the most dominant in this region and is threatening the world order as we know it. So that is what is playing out as we go to air.
You have 26 world leaders show up. They're very interesting ones that showed up. One of them being Dan Andrews, former premier of Victoria in Australia. That's pretty weird, isn't it? I mean, you have a former governor. Why? And he was the most, he was the biggest COVID tyrant in Australia. The most compliant with all COVID mitigations was Dan Andrews. The premier of Victoria in Australia, big into the Belt and Road Initiative. And he shows up there because here's the thing. You actually have a tension. You have the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, WEF are actually in tension with China because China doesn't want to fully bow. So then China goes into the offshoot of the BRICS movement, which again, this gets complex, and there's people that are double agents that are playing both sides of the coin. Because then you have the China go into the BRICS movement with this Russia, which doesn't participate in the central bank. So it's good complex. What China is doing is vacillating back and forth and choosing who it is that they're going to follow temporarily until they are the dominant global power. That's what they're doing. And it's just, I mean, it's just, you see this and you're like, how would a governor be summoned to a global meeting in Beijing? It's just like Jacinda Ardern or Mark Rutte. Mark Rutte. It's actually Root. It's some Rutte, Root. But anyway, I'm just going to call him Rutte. You know, he goes right from being the prime minister of the Netherlands, president or whatever it is the title is of the Netherlands, and then moves right into being the president of NATO. Jacinda Ardern and all of these people, COVID totalitarians, who want biometric ID, vaccine passports, everything, 15-minute cities. Rutte himself tried to confiscate 40% of private farmland in the Netherlands. And the Netherlands is the second largest agricultural producer on the planet to the United States of America, believe it or not. That's true, even though they're a tiny country. But anyway, you just see how these people transition into global authority or authoritative positions. Dan Andrews paid his dues. He pimped and whored the vaccine, pimped and whored COVID. COVID that was created in the Wuhan Institute of Virology, funded by Peter Daszak, Eco Health Alliance, funded by Anthony Fauci, funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, both of the Chinese Academy of Sciences and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And then you see suddenly these COVID totalitarians all show up, not all, show up in Beijing at this very, very strange meeting. It's really kind of a BRICS meeting. So then, interesting little, this is from Fox News, by the way. Hot mics pick up Putin and Xi discussing immortality. This is from Fox News. Listen, Alex Jones is far more reliable than Fox News. Steve Bannon is far more reliable than Fox News, but I'm not getting it from either one of those sources. This is from Fox News. This was a hot mic. Listen to what these two global leaders are talking about. Play it for me.
In the past, people rarely lived longer than 70 years. But today, they say that at 70, you are still a child.
Human organs can be continuously transplanted. The longer you live, the younger you become, and can even achieve immortality.
Well, let's deep dive into those comments for just a minute, shall we? Now, it really is. It really. I mean, I could spend an hour on it. I'm gonna keep it somewhat surface level. First of all, you have the whole organ harvesting issue. If any of you still sign up to be an organ donor, you've lost your mind. Because that's what is happening here. These are two global leaders. Now, what is one of the major problems in Ukraine? Can anybody name it? Organ harvesting. Now, who's fighting Ukraine right now? That would be Russia. Who wants to take over vast swaths of Ukraine? Russia does. And I've already, you know where I stand on that whole issue. Russia's not the bad guy in that war. But anyway, major organ harvesting issues. It's not organ harvesting because that sounds benign. No, it's forced organ harvesting. Uyghur Muslims inside of China right now, it's already been proven, they are having experiments done on them, Mengele style, and being killed, and their organs are being harvested and sold on the open market. Alex Jones was talking about this today because he has a blown Achilles, and in order for his Achilles to be fixed, he can't get a normal surgery. He has to have a cadaver Achilles put in, and the cadavers, the really pure ones, are brought in from China, and his doctor said to him, well, don't worry, it's lab grown. And the doctor, it's kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod thing. That's what the doctor's told, but it's actually coming from Uyghur Muslims. You're like, oh, this is right-wing conspiracy theory. You just heard him talking about it, folks. We all need to move past the whole realm of right-wing conspiracy theory and start to understand that what you're dealing with here is a spirit of the world or the spirit of God. And you choose which one you're a part of. Because sometimes people in the spirit of the world do good things, but they do them for wrong reasons. So they're still part of the spirit of the world, even though they do good things. But anyway, so there you have it. And you see these people believing now in immortality. I mean, you heard Vladimir Putin said, just get your organs endlessly replaced, and then you can live forever. Which, by the way, that's not going to happen. My spirit will not strive with man forever, for his indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Genesis 6:3. And what year has nobody passed in the world? Ever. I remember some idiot Christian one time sent me, he was talking to me, and he said, he's challenging me. I don't think that, you know, he meant like that people were going to live 102 years. He meant that this was a time frame or something. Like, I said, dude, why don't you just look at the earth? Does anybody live past 120 years? Now, we in the United States are just for some reason accepting that everybody dies in their 70s. You're a young man in your 70s, a young woman in your 70s, according to the word of God, the Genesis 6:3. But nobody's going to, just as man is destined to die at once, and after that to face judgment. You can do whatever you want. You can research whatever you want, look into whatever you want. You can do any of those things. You can try to beat the word of God. You're not going to beat the system that God is sovereign over. Doesn't mean in control of everything. It means over everything. And then we'll assume control again at his second coming. However, everybody just needs to understand that these quote-unquote conspiracy theories you're seeing at a global summit. You had Kim Jong-un walking there, Xi Jinping walking there, Vladimir Putin. Basically, nuclear states and the second and third most powerful countries on the planet walking side by side talking about immortality and living for forever via organ stealing. Organ harvesting is all that comes to my mind, but it's not harvesting. It's harvesting if somebody willfully allows you to do it, but it's not. There's kids that are missing, bodies. Think about it. I mean, again, we have 400,000 children that are missing from 4 years of the Biden administration. that entered through the southern border, documented through the southern border, are in the wind. The numbers just came out where they had their hotline when a kid is, but it didn't just come out. It's been out for a while. I watched the video today in my mind. It just came out, but I'd already seen it before. But anyway, they had a hotline for kids who didn't like their placement, were concerned about their placement. I thought they were all given to their relatives. That's what we were lied. Those are the lies that we were told for 4 years of the Biden administration. But anyway, so there were 65,000 calls to the hotline about minors who were, I'm talking about illegal immigrant minors that were placed in these homes, and they were calling to complain about it, probably because they were being raped and murdered. And the Biden administration had one person, no, it was two people in charge of answering those calls. So 65,000 went completely and totally unanswered. A lot of these kids are gone. Where are they? Well, they're all in sex slavery. No, they can't all be in sex slavery, folks. We would know. How many of them are dead? And there is a huge global market for organs. Huge. And they're very expensive. And you're just seeing two global leaders openly discussing it unknowingly on an open mic. And it's just time for us to say, you know what? We need to be looking into things and see if they're actually conspiracy theories. Because obviously I don't think they are. All right, let's go to the next one. Let me show you this. Just speaking of, because Keir Starmer was there too. Why is Keir Starmer there? I thought he was our ally. Why is he there? Oh, he's the one who protects child rapists. Yep. I mean, he's in charge of the CPU inside of Great Britain, who saw the cover-up of some 15,000 child rapes that were never prosecuted, never investigated. Why would that be? Every single subject is so deep, and there is such a narrative and agenda behind it. I want to talk about every single bit of it, but I'll only get to one story per night if I do that. The reason why he can't look into it, because it would stem the tide of that which he wants. What he wants is illegal migration into his country so that his country is very easily globally governed. And again, the quick explanation of that is you let in a bunch of third world, uneducated, oftentimes inbred, mind-numbed robots into your countries who have no heritage connection to your Charter of Rights, your Constitution, Bill of Rights, or anything else. They're very easily globally governed. Well, where is Keir Starmer? At another global governance convention. That's the point of it. That's why Biden let in somewhere between 15 and 30 million illegals into our country in 4 years. And why they resist so much the repatriation of those illegals into their countries, because it actually thwarts the agenda and thwarts the narrative. The agenda is flood these countries with third world migrants, have no heritage connection. They don't even know what the Constitution is. Our own kids don't know, which is also on purpose. Watch the street interviews that we put in the post game. Who's the first president of the United States? Donald Trump. What country is north of us? Russia. They have no idea. Name four countries. They can't even name four countries. They start naming cities and states. They have no actual reference point of who they are or where they live. That's all purposeful. So Keir Starmer, by covering up the rape stats of Pakistani migrants raping white women and white girls in the UK, was on purpose, because it fulfills the globalist agenda. It fulfills the ushering forward of the globalist agenda. And now he shows up in Beijing. The UK is overwhelmed with migrant rapists while the prime minister focuses on arresting people for mean tweets and stopping kids from drinking Red Bull. I mean, do you realize what the rape stats are there? And again, these are, as is the case in the United States of America, they are manipulating those stats in the United States of America. And again, I don't mean to be redundant, but in case there's, I just want people to understand what the truth is. Because in the UK, with their rape stats, their migrant rape stats are calculated this way. They only are counted as a migrant rape if the migrant has moved into the country of the UK in the last year. Everybody else, every other rape is considered a non-migrant rape. That makes sense so far, Aaron?
Yeah.
So understand that. So when a migrant rapes a 13-year-old, you know, a migrant with a 70 IQ inbred Pakistani, rapes a 13-year-old girl in the UK, and he's been living there for 3 years. It's counted as a non-migrant rape. The same exact thing they did, when I say they, I mean the globalists, including inside the United States of America, with manipulated statistical data, when they calculated vaccine deaths. You weren't considered a vaccine death unless you had already received your second vaccination. Everybody who died after their first vaccination, which was most people, when it was sudden death, like SADS, sudden adult death syndrome, which never even existed prior to the vaccination. But anyway, those deaths of people who died after the first vaccination, which is everybody who's elderly and most everybody else, they weren't counted as vaccine deaths because you weren't, Aaron, get this, Will, get this, you weren't fully vaccinated.
Right.
But you died 8 hours after the vaccination. Those weren't counted as vaccine deaths. Only if you were fully vaccinated, your second vaccination, were you counted as a vaccine death or a vaccine infirmity, a vaccine sickness, illness, or disease. So understand the manipulation of the data. The same thing with the vaccine developmental data from Pfizer, where you have 28 out of 32 women miscarried in the trial. And that was called a vaccine side effect, which naturally fixed itself. That's how it was actually categorized. A vaccine side effect, what they call a spontaneous abortion, a miscarriage, a vaccine side effect that naturally fixed itself. That's what it was called in the vaccine developmental data. Imagine that. So you have the exact same thing here. So Keir Starmer, who oversaw tens of thousands of rapes that he himself covered up. Now, what's his priority now? We won't shy away from decisions to protect kids. The 12-year-old girls that are being raped by 70 IQ Pakistani migrants, he didn't protect them. I think I'd rather have a Red Bull than be anally raped. How about anybody else?
Yeah.
Just curious. Mm-hmm. Because you had the girl in the UK who's penetrated in every, who was like 12, who's penetrated in every orifice and was actually bludgeoned to death in the back of the head. But after she had a lot of things inserted into her body too, that probably would have killed her.
Yeah.
He didn't protect her, but he's really concerned about kids drinking Red Bulls. Even if there are predictable cries of a nanny state, we're stopping shops from selling high caffeine energy drinks to those under 16 years of age so they can turn up to school ready to learn. That's what he cares about. Just like you have Tampon Timmy Waltz coming out now with the latest round of gun confiscation, which, by the way, because of the shooting in Chicago at the Catholic school, they're all, Minneapolis, correction, got Chicago on my mind, Minneapolis, they're all now reinvigorated with their Australian-style gun confiscation schemes, of which Tim Waltz came out and said very gleefully, and this is in the post game, by the way. You'll see it in the post game. But he came out and said, you know, we all heard that Trump was dead over the weekend, or Trump was dead, you know. It turned out not to be true. You know, it's sad it didn't turn out. This is all true. This is what he said. It's sad that it wasn't true, but someday it will be. That's what he said. That's who these people are. Tampon Timmy, who wants to protect kids from guns, he wants to protect them from guns, but gleefully aborts them in the womb.
Right.
I mean, he wants, you know, you have like, you know, pure kids being killed by gun violence in the United States of America every year is in the low hundreds, if that, because again, manipulated data. Tim Waltz is responsible for 2 million kids being slaughtered in the womb every year, 400,000 in the African American community alone per year. And he wants to save, you know, 174 kids who are actually killed by guns every year. Those numbers are made up. I'm just not the abortion numbers, the second, the gun crime number. Because again, there's hardly any. And then when you actually break down the gun crime about like AR-15s, you have guns are responsible for like 4% of homicides. AR-15s are responsible for 4% of the 4%. And everyone wants to get rid of AR-15s. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of the cause of 4% of 4%. Sounds very, very eerily familiar to the whole climate hoax. How much of the atmosphere is comprised of CO2? 0.04%. of which man contributes 1% to the point, I mean, Australia contributes 1% to the 0.04%. And they shut down Australia for climate change. And that's what everybody wants to do. I mean, or maybe actual mankind. I don't remember which because it's a video I haven't played for a while. So you see the priorities of the globalist left right here. All right, let's go to the next one. Darth Powell video. This is shocking population numbers. Play for me.
Europe will fall in the next 100 years. I don't think the world is overpopulated. I think we're underpopulated. In order for civilization to maintain itself, it must have a fertility rate of 2.11 kids per woman. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. Okay, historically. And a rate of 1.3 is mathematically impossible to reverse. Where are we right now in Europe? France, 1.8. England, 1.6. Greece, 1.3. Dead. Germany, 1.3. Dead. Italy, 1.2. Dead. Spain, 1.1. Now, let's do a little calculation here. What is the fertility rate, the Islamic fertility rate, in France? 8.1. In large French cities, 45% of children under the age of 20 are Islamic. At this rate, in 40 years, France could become an Islamic republic. The world as we know it is just changing in a way that I feel is irreversible, and we're gonna see the outcome of that eventually.
See, now why would all of these countries want this Islamic invasion? They claim to be liberal, but they want an Islamic invasion. I mean, the United States, all the left wants an Islamic invasion. In many states, or I'll just use Canada. I was watching Jonathan Shuttlesworth on my way in, and Canada was coming up with all of this legislation, which is perfect for the next video because we're going to look at the Peter St. Ange with Canada's recession. But Canada is actually legislating Christianity out of its country, where you have to get a permit for worship service in your own church. They're outlawing public prayer. They're trying to outlaw public prayer, but we'll have the five times a day call to Islamic prayer in public. Bawam, bawam, over, you know, Alberta or Toronto or whatever. Isn't that weird? You're allowed to have public Islamic prayer and even close down streets, not be arrested. But if you go out and get a guitar and play how great is our God on the corner of, street corner in Toronto, you'll be arrested. It's weird how that works. And Muslims are far less liberal than Christians. Like Christians, I mean, and I don't like to use the word liberal. I don't like to apply that in any way, shape, or form to myself. But, you know, Islam, look at how they treat women and everything else. They're far less liberal. But why do all the liberals want them in then? Because they're inbred, oftentimes very low IQ and easily governed. Look at their countries. Where's there ever an Islamic uprising? Anybody name it? I mean, why would you not have an Islamic uprising against Saddam Hussein or the mullahs in Iran inside the country or Saudi Arabia with the royal family? These people are being oppressed. They're being killed. A lot of times there's genocides, rapes of women and everything else. And nobody ever rises up in those countries because they're very easily controlled. Where's the uprising inside of Pakistan? Never. But where you do see uprising, the United States of America, I mean, in other places also. Brazil, you see mass uprising. You never see any of that in those countries. They're very easily governed, i.e. very easily globally governed. So you flood your country with a bunch of Muslims. Because you're like, well, why would you want that? Because you're eradicating your own culture. The globalist leftist bourgeois elitists don't have a culture. They don't look at their countries as sovereign nations. They look at their countries as globalist states. That's it. To be globally governed by a forum of globalist politicians. That's it. That's how they actually look at themselves. That's how they look at the world. So they don't care if the identity of their country is gone. Listen to some of these stats. In order to maintain your population, remember how the stats work here. A woman has to have, not a family has to have, but you gotta really, really look at the particulars of the numbers here. A woman has to have average having 2.1 children in her lifetime. Aaron, you got one to go. Will, you're good. I'm good. All right, 2.1 though. So Will needs to have another one.
Oh,
so sorry. One more Will. But anyway. So I mean, 2.1 just to get over the average. Now that's to maintain. That's 2.1 children per woman, not per family. And they're like, because you don't want to think of it as 2.1 per person, because then you lose yourself in the numbers. 2.1 per woman. So every woman, to maintain your population, that's what you have to have. One, if your average is 1.9, which we already are in the United States, we're already less than that in Canada. Every European nation is less than 1.5. 1.9 has never been recovered from in the history of the world. All of those, that's why that guy was saying Italy, 1.1 child per woman, dead. UK, 1.3, dead. Spain, 1.6, dead. See what I mean? That's the thing. But France, how many children is the average Muslim woman having? 8. When you go to Paris, France now, 45% of the people under the age of 18 in Paris are Islamic. See, now this is where Aaron gets blackpilled. Okay? Like you talk to Aaron, you know, you have the conflict between Owen Schroyer and Alex Jones because Owen Schroyer is super blackpilled, you get blackpilled. Because it's like, it's kind of like it's over. It's not over. You got to fight. You got to continue to fight. It's not over. You know, we're going to skip the next one. It's too long. So I'll save that one for tomorrow. The Peter St. Ange one. Yeah, well, let's do a little bit of Chicago. So I just want everybody to see, and if you tie in, why do these people want the population to go down? Because the population they want to go down is not easily governed, and the population they want to go up is easily governed. So they want two classes. They want bourgeois elitists and serfs, which mirrors China, which mirrors Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and every Muslim country. They want serfs and they want elitists. They want first class and last class. That's it. Not first and second class. First class people and last class people. That's it. And this is how you accomplish it. Get rid of, people call me racist, get rid of the white population. Get rid of the white population. It's not nothing to do with race. I'm just telling you that's what they're doing. I mean, are the numbers lying? No, those numbers are 100% accurate. The birth rates are plummeting amongst white population and surging in Muslim populations because that's what the bourgeois elitist white people want. Believe it or not, including Israel. Israel's number one enemy is the United States of America. We're the biggest threat to their power. And you're like, Tom's anti-Israel. No, because every ally looks at us that way to some degree anyway. Every one of our allies does. All right, let's go to the next. Let's go to the top two. Let me see if I want to do this one. I don't know. Oh, you know, we're going to skip. Get ready. Well, we're going to skip all the way up because I'm bored with Chicago. Let's skip all the way up. I got 10 minutes to go. I'm going to go to 10:15. I got 10 minutes. Let's skip up to Daily Caller tweet breaking the House voted. And then there you go. Perfect. Let's go here. I've been wanting to make fun of Democrats for days. So here we go. Let's have some fun with this. All right. Daily Caller tweet. Breaking, the House voted to table a GOP-led effort to censor Rep. LaMonica McIver. Five Republicans, remember the names. As a matter of fact, five Republicans voted, joined every Democrat to block the measure to censure LaMonica, I think for some reason her name throws me off, McIver, LaMonica McIver, I want to say Monica. LaMonica McIver, because it's hard, LaMonica McIver, it's like how many M's are you going to have in one name? But anyway, so all it was a censor. Why? Because she battered ICE agents on video. I mean, it's right there. She battered law enforcement officers, which is a federal crime because they're federal agents, but a felony no matter where you do it. And it's on video that she did it. And so they just simply want to censor her for committing felonies on videotape against federal agents. Five Republicans, Don Bacon, Mike Flood, Dave Joyce, same names over and over again, Mike Turner and David Velotto, all voted with the Democrats to not censor somebody who battered cops. And here's how it goes to the next one for me. This is what they look like. There they are, all effeminate men, every time. Every single time. There they are. There's so many names I want to say right now. One, namely, that I'm just not going to cross that line. But anyway, it's not even a cuss word. But
hold it back.
Holding it in. But I mean, these guys right here voted with the Democrats to not censor LaMonica McIver, who battered law enforcement officers on video. And that's why I keep telling you, they're most Republicans are Democrats. You're like, yeah, but Tom, most Republicans did vote to censor. That's because they lose all credibility. If they don't, these guys must believe they have enough Democrats in their districts to reelect them. And a lot of times in the districts, the primaries are not actually run by party. You can vote in people's primaries as Republicans or Democrats. I could vote in a Democrat primary, and they could vote in a Republican primary, and vice versa. All right, so let's go to the next one. So this is my Democratic section of the show here. But I talked about this already, but here's the specifics. Bad Hombre tweet just in. Ilhan Omar reported a negative net worth of minus $45,000 when she first was elected to Congress in 2019. Her latest financial disclosure from 2025 shows a net worth of up to $30 million. That's just a mere increase of 66,676% in 6 years.
Wow.
Perfect. Got a lot of sixes in there. Sixes in there. That's amazing, isn't it? How did this happen exactly? I mean, how does this happen? Again, I just want to congratulate Will. I want to congratulate Aaron. I want to congratulate myself and everybody watching, because you and I are the reasons why she's now worth $30 million.
Thank you.
It's our tax dollars have gone to her via NGOs. There you go. I just want to congratulate everybody, because again, and that's part of my problem with the Big Beautiful Bill, is a lot of that spending has continued into NGOs that have these glorious names, these do-gooder names, these virtuous names, when they lack all goodness and all virtue. But they have these names of, you know, World Health, Children's Fund, and all they do, they're given again, let me just put this out there, because this is how she's worth $30 million, is they're given $1 billion. That'd be a small NGO, but just so it's easy for me to calculate in my mind. So they're given $1 billion, which, by the way, of course, is 1,000 millions. So they hire a staff for this NGO, Save the Children, Feed the Children Fund. So they get $1 billion, right? Well, they contribute $30 million in backdoor funds to, let's say, Ilhan Omar. When she pays her husband $3 million for consultancy fees, which she did in the last campaign. That's how they enrich themselves through our taxpayer dollars. Because the NGO is the one that gave the money to her campaign that paid her husband. And by the way, that's how Bernie Sanders is three-house Bernie, drives around in a sports car as a socialist. And she's a socialist too, by the way. But she's worth $30 million. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025, is you espouse socialism as your leaders who espouse that socialism are themselves very, very wealthy and don't have any socialist virtues at all, as if there were socialist virtues. because Three House Bernie gave 10% of all of his ad buys, which is, by the way, is federal law, to the person who made all of his ad buys, which is his wife, and his funding for his ad buys came from where? NGOs. Go ahead, Aaron.
Oh, I was just going to say, isn't it great that we like work so hard to do this podcast and stuff, and us doing that is giving her $30 million?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled about it.
Yeah,
I'm happy. I mean, you know, what else? Yeah. What else would bring me happiness in life than funding a radical Muslim terrorist who married her brother?
I'm having a great time.
I mean, because that's exactly what it is. So when you see $37 trillion in debt, doesn't anybody else but me ever say, why is it that I've never benefited from that deficit spending? Because the person who benefits from it is right here. The one who marries her brother.
Yeah.
And says out loud in public from a podium that her allegiance is to Somalia.
Yeah.
So when an NGO gets that $1 billion, they spend 999 million of it giving it away to other Democrats and 1 million to the kids. That's what they do. That's the Clinton Foundation and every NGO and charity you could possibly name. That's what they do. That's why these people are worth $30 million. That's why they stay in government. That's why they vote against term limits. That's why Nancy Pelosi is worth somewhere between $250 and $400 million and she makes $174,000 a year. I mean, it's just odd. And then they'll always say, what is Ilhan Omar saying? How did she get her money? It's her husband. What does Nancy Pelosi say? It's her husband. Her husband was in charge of like security for her campaign. And he's somehow brought in $30 million large in the last 6 years. And by the way, she was banging him while he was married, obviously, to another woman as his campaign advisor. That's how she married her non-brother this time.
Classy.
Yeah, classy woman. Classy broad right there. Just a classy, classy broad. So just so everybody understands, everything's a lie. Everything's a game. Republicans and Democrats both are enriching themselves through our taxpayer dollars, but primarily Democrats. All right, here's my Tim Walz section. And wokeness video breaking. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz calls for mass gun confiscation like Australia. Play for me.
When they had a school shooting in Scotland or they had an incident in Australia, they simply made changes. They are just as free as we are. They still have gun ownership requirements, but they have made sure that they don't have these. And since they did those things, they don't have them. We are an outlier amongst nations in terms of what happens to our children. And I refuse to think that that's okay. It's simply not.
You had an opportunity to ask the president today about this, and you did not. Why? Yeah.
Well, because when he got on the phone and sounded very much alive, I thought it would sound kind of stupid, frankly, to ask an alive person if they were dead. But I'll tell you who is a complete piece of shit. I'm going to tell you right now.
There have been a lot of swear words at
this
table today.
Tim Walz, okay? the governor of Minnesota, holding up a phone in front of a rally saying, well, we thought we were going to wake up and find out the president had died. Someday it'll happen. Someday it'll happen.
Although I will say this, the last few days you woke up thinking there might be news. Just saying. There will be news sometime. Just so you know, there will be news.
And I used to say he was the biggest buffoon in American politics, but it's worse now.
So there you go. I mean, and again, Tim Walz advocating for an Australian-style gun confiscation, and then actively in public in front of I'm supposing it's a large crowd, advocating for the death of Donald Trump. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Hey, Will, let's skip ahead a couple more again. Go up to the, and there's a bunch of mazes, but skip up to the maze video when you cook the books. From when you cook the books to make it's like four videos from now.
Gotcha.
You got it? I don't think that's the right one. Is that the right one? That's the right one. You got it. Yep, you got it. All right, here's a maze video. I got to show you this from Democrats because I've been talking about statistical manipulation. Here's one for you. Maze video, when you cook the books to make it look like there's a surplus so you can get all your big spending bills passed. State of Michigan, play for me.
California's massive budget surplus has Governor Gavin Newsom demanding a huge spending spree.
Projected operating surplus for the state of California. In the May revisions, just shy of $100 billion, simply without precedent. No other state in American history has ever experienced a surplus as large as this.
California is facing a $27 billion budget deficit, and today the governor released his plan for trying to deal with it. Spoiler alert. It is brutal.
The second year in a row, California is facing a multi-billion-dollar shortfall. And that, according to the governor, will lead to the loss of both money that was going towards programs and jobs.
This is kind of work you enjoy doing, but you got to do it. We have to be responsible. We have to.
If you want to see Gavin do the, by the way, I screwed that up. Michigan has to do with a different story, which I'm going to read to you in just a second. But anyway, I got the videos mixed up. But anyway, Gavin did the exact same thing in San Francisco, where they had a huge budget surplus and he took office and then they had a huge budget deficit. Where's all the money going? Remember the $141 million that was raised for the fire fund? And not one dime has gone to a victim of the fire, but millions went to Gavin's NGO who pays Gavin, who lives in a $9 million mansion with walls and guns that he doesn't want anybody else to have. And Democrats, you keep voting for these people? You keep voting for these people who are the abject opposite of everything you allege to believe in. and it's turned out, and I cannot remember, I'm trying to remember the exact amount of money that was actually raised for the fire. Oh, $770 million they've tracked that was raised for the fire. Not one dime has gone to a fire victim yet. And they're still raising money for it. And not one dime. But lo and behold, where was all the $141 million sent? To 20-something NGOs, all run by Democrats. Just so everybody knows, that's exactly what's happening. That's every deficit you see is Democrats and Republicans who are actually Democrats enriching themselves through our taxpayer dollars that are funneled into NGOs that are fully staffed, fully run by Democrats who hire other Democrats, employ other Democrats, hire Democrat consulting firms, hire Democratic attorneys, and fund Democratic Party campaigns. That's where all of our $37 trillion worth of debt is. And why you've never seen any benefit from that deficit spending. Not one. You can track. Gavin Newsom has a long history of doing this. I mean, they had a 97, when he took office, a $97 billion budget surplus. And now they are hundreds of billions in debt. Where's all that money? Not one California has benefited from it. And you're like, well, they give it to illegals. They don't ever give it to illegals. Notice how illegals are somewhat benefited from it. But what happens is whether it's Jewish Family Services, Catholic Family Services, or a myriad of others, and we've chronicled these various stories on this podcast many times, where you have, you know, an institution that was funded with $8 billion worth of money for to house illegals, and the place is empty, but they're still getting the money. Mm-hmm. It all and lo and behold, the person who owns it is related to this person, who's related to this person. They're all Democrats,
of course.
That's how it always is every single time, whether it's Stacey Abrams receiving $2 billion to her NGO right before Biden leaves office. And I could go on and on and on with this. But anyway, that just shows you exactly what's happening. I'm going to just, and here in Michigan, this is a story that I got conflated with the one you just saw. In Michigan, Wall Street Ape story, exposed Democrats in Michigan have been creating thousands of fake jobs and then laundering that money back to themselves. I mean, just again, this is the Democratic Party section of the show. I just want you to see who our opposition is. They are a bunch of corruptocrats that you and I are funding. And that's why I hated the Big Beautiful Bill, because a lot of that money is still being funneled to these Democratic organizations. All right, I got to call it right there. I got so much more to get to, but I'll call it. All right, Rumble Rants. There'll be another podcast tomorrow. All right, that's my way of calming myself.
There's another one.
Look at the stack. I just want to keep going.
Yeah, I got so much to get to.
Yeah, I got so much.
So little time.
Yeah, a lot of people watching right now. Love you guys. Appreciate everybody watching right now. Rumble Rants tonight. Jules, 21 hours. $20. Stick around. We still got a post game. Don't hop off. We got a post game. You got to see. Jules, 21 hours. $20. Alligator Alcatraz, $10. VFR, I'm going to read the whole thing because you're in the rant. VFR, 800-2003, $5. Christopher Arnott, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. God bless you.